Welcome back, guys. DGS. Good to be back. Yeah. I don't want to lie to people.
Yeah, you don't have to lie. It's just not terrible being back.
Yeah. Right? It's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have a cool job.
It's not the worst feeling in the world being
right.
back.
When you have a cool job and you're coming back from vacation, it's not that bad. But when you have a job that's hard, coming back from vacation is a little harder.
Yeah. So if you're listening on 1120, do what I did. I started out at 6 a.m. in Colorado and listened all the way back on the Odyssey app, with the exception of a couple of places where even my heart stopped beating for about an hour because there's no coverage. You can get it, and you can get it anywhere, and it's very entertaining. I don't know that anyone's ever listened to 13 hours of Game OX in a row, including our boss, but I did that, and it's very impressive. Very solid product. Chet Pleven joins us to talk about what's going on down in Florida with Judge Eileen Cannon. And I got to tell you, coming on the heels of what happened over the weekend and then this case is dismissed, like this guy is on a run.
Yeah, this is pretty amazing, isn't it? I've practiced criminal law representing defendants in federal criminal cases for 50 years. I have never drawn a judge like Eileen Cannon. Very, very interesting.
Does it feel, because, in our profession and the very appearance of impropriety, does it feel like it crosses a line, or does it just feel like he got a great judge who's sympathetic?
Well, here's the thing. From the beginning, since she's had this case, she's been slow walking it. Now, I guess she's a new judge, so you could conclude that she's doing it because of inexperience and she doesn't know all the ropes. Or in the alternative, you could conclude that she's a Trump appointee and she's doing it to help him in particular, so this case doesn't get tried before the election. And certainly if it's tried after the election and he wins, he has the ability to pardon himself. So clearly what was happening de facto, now she has reduced to writing and dismissed the entire indictment, not on its merits, completely unrelated to its merits, but on a technical procedural ground, namely that special counsel Jack Smith was appointed in violation of the Constitution, because there is no law, no federal law, that establishes the office of special counsel. Now, when you look at that and you say, okay, well, that's kind of interesting, until you look
let me interrupt you. We'll get right back to that. There's some reporting that Trump has picked J.D. Vance as his VP pick. So we've been waiting for that. CNN is reporting Trump picks Senator J.D. Vance as his running mate, so out of Ohio. So there you go. We will be hearing more about that. Now back to Chet talking about what is happening down in Florida. So, Chet, this is an esoteric part of the law, but it's a pretty well-settled part of the law. Like, Hunter Biden tried this. Everyone who is prosecuted by a special prosecutor tries this, but heretofore they failed.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. So that for the past 25 years, essentially, the Office of Special Counsel has been utilized, and that office has been appointed by the then existing Attorney General of the United States. So, for example, Bill Barr appointed Miller to go ahead and investigate the question of whether or not Russia interfered with the election. Robert Hur is looked into the question of whether or not Biden violated the law relating to the confidential documents. And currently, David Weiss is prosecuting Hunter Biden in two cases, one of which he was found guilty. The other case is a tax case. So clearly, she's an outlier. Clearly, other courts, most specifically, the D.C. Circuit Court, in the Mueller situation, where that was challenged, his position was challenged, and the Court of Appeals, the D.C. Court of Appeals, upheld his appointment as a special counsel by the Attorney General, then Bill Barr. So clearly, she is the lone ranger as it relates to this decision and as it relates to other courts that weighed in. Specifically,
hey Chet, we're gonna have to break in and cover this. We'll be sure. Right back to you though. So we're gonna go to national coverage here of President Trump picking J.D. Vance.
KMOX is covering breaking news.
Let's take you into CBS News. Here is Major Garrett.
Lindsay, I want to read to you a Truth Social post from the former president. I'll cut to the chase. He has selected J.D. Vance as his running mate for the 2024 presidential campaign. Let me read this Truth Social post in toto. Quote, after lengthy deliberation and thought and considering the tremendous talents of many others, I have decided that the person best suited to assume the position of Vice President of the United States is Senator J.D. Vance of the great state of Ohio. Continuing, direct quote, J.D. honorably served our country in the Marine Corps, graduated from Ohio State University in 2 years, summa cum laude, and is a Yale Law School graduate, where he was the editor of the Yale Law Journal and president of the Yale Law Veterans Association. J.D.'s book, Hillbilly Elegy, became a major bestseller and movie, and it has championed the hardworking men and women of our country. J.D. had a very successful business career in technology. Again, I'm quoting this Truth Social post from the former president. And finance, and now during the campaign, will be strongly focused on the people he fought so brilliantly for, the American workers and farmers in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, Minnesota, and far beyond. There you have it. On Truth Social, the former president of the United States, Donald Trump, officially announcing that J.D. Vance, 39-year-old senator from the state of Ohio, 1.5 years in the United States Senate, will be his running mate in the 2024 campaign.
Major, you had mentioned that he is a relatively political newcomer, a year and a half in the Senate. We, of course, are familiar with his book that turned into the very popular movie. What do we know about his credentials that make him ready for the moment today?
Well, first and most importantly, he was able to patch up his differences with former President Trump. Anyone who does a quick internet search will find in 2016, not only was J.D. Vance critical of former President Trump, then a candidate for the Republican Party nomination for the first time in 2016, he was acidically critical of former President Trump, describing him in one article as potentially America's next Hitler, describing his particular rhetoric about helping the world class as rhetorical heroin. Highly critical of former President Trump seeking the Republican nomination in 2016. Those days are gone. And J.D. Vance has said publicly many times, the movement is larger than I thought it was, and it's time for me to suck it up and join this movement. And since he made that decision, as he prepared to run for the Senate in Ohio and won the endorsement of former President Trump, an endorsement, by the way, that catapulted him to the top of a very contested Republican primary and made him not only the nominee, but the future senator from Ohio, J.D. Vance has been not only the most stalwart, dependable, but most aggressive defender of former President Trump's approach on policy, politics, and even rhetoric. And for that reason, he rose to the top of this list and now has been chosen by the former president as his running mate in this campaign.
All right, that is CBS's Major Garrett with the breaking news confirmed by CBS through a Truth Social post by the former president. And now the roll call is happening at the RNC to officially make him the Republican presidential nominee as well. J.D. Vance, the senator from Ohio, venture capitalist and author, has been chosen as former President Trump's running mate. Continuing coverage on KMOX. For now, we'll send it back to Studio B.
Okay, there you go. So J.D. Vance, here's my take on J.D. Vance. What I like best about him is what I hate worst about him. He's wicked, wicked smart. He's smarter than me. You know what I mean? There are a lot of people out there in politics who are bright. You don't get to that level unless you're bright, but he's wicked smart. Uncomfortably so for me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
He could be playing everybody. So, but if I can have a dumb guy or a smart guy, give me the smart guy.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's interesting how fast you change your mind, though, when you can see where your advancement lies.
Oh, yeah. Part of being really smart. Welcome back, guys. DGS 220. Breaking news here on KMOX. Donald Trump has picked Ohio Senator J.D. Vance to be his running mate. They're going through the formalities now at the convention. Our buddy John Hancock joins us now. Hello, John.
Hey there.
So, John, before we talk specifically about J.D. Vance, you're one of the guys I wanted to get your thoughts about what transpired over the weekend. I just want to hear your story about how you came to know what happened to Trump and your thoughts.
Well, I was actually in a church service at 5 o'clock on Saturday, so I didn't learn of it until I got out. My phone blew up and my son let me know. And at least he didn't say the president's been shot. He said Donald Trump's been shot, but he's OK. So I didn't have to get over that initial shock. But I, you know, there's a pit in your stomach. It's horrible for the country. And, you know, I'm very thankful that he survives.
I mean, obviously the gentleman would have been dead. So what a huge swing for him, but what a huge swing for the country. Even for people who don't like Donald Trump, something like that happening would have thrown us into complete chaos.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, we were an inch away from having a completely different conversation right now.
Which way do you think that would have gone? I mean, how badly could it have gone?
Well, there's already a slew of conspiracy theories online. You know, social media is a cesspool. And that would have been on steroids had Donald Trump perished in that incident. So you would have had a very divided country, very embittered, and potentially very ugly.
So talk to me about J.D. Vance. Your thoughts?
Well, he's one of these Republicans that have come full circle on Donald Trump, a vocal critic of him 8-9 years ago, and he's become a staunch ally. And, you know, most notably, I think, with Vance is that he gets the Trump electorate. You know, he wrote Hillbilly Elegy in 2016. He understands the appeal of Donald Trump to the people for whom Donald Trump appeals. And I think he may understand that better than anybody else that could have been vice president. In terms of policy, he's got a law degree from Yale. He's not a dummy. He's definitely one of the Senate leaders of being opposed to aid to Ukraine. I find that interesting. And I think he would be much less of an interventionist in terms of foreign policy, much like Donald Trump's position. And I think you're going to get a fair amount of synergy between the two and not a whole lot of daylight between them on any public policy matter.
So, John, there's been some reporting from Donald Trump himself that this really changed him. Of course it did. He's a human being. Of course it's going to change him to have a bullet whiz by and nick your ear. It could have been 1 inch over and it hit you in the eye and it's all over with.
Right.
And he's talking about his speech is completely different. He ripped up the Joe Biden attack speech. He's going to talk about unity. He's going to talk about bringing America together. To what degree do you think it's possible for Donald Trump to make this pivot, and to what degree do you hope he does?
Oh, I hope he does. I'll believe it when I see it, but I mean, it certainly is possible. And look, that had to be a life-changing experience. And he certainly has a massive political momentum right now between Biden's debate performance, the disharmony within the Democratic Party about whether to stick with their nominee or replace him. And now this, a great deal of public sympathy. You've got that iconic photo from the rally, which I think is going to go down as one of the most iconic photos in American political history. And so, and the other thing, too, I think, is that there was probably a period where his advisors were urging him to pick a safe choice for running mate, somebody like a Tim Scott, for example, or even a Marco Rubio, a little more experience in the U.S. Senate. And I think Donald Trump post-Saturday kind of feels like, you know, I'm going to do it the way I want to do it with who I want to do it, and we're going to win. And I think he takes that attitude, and I don't think he's wrong into making this selection today.
Is the biggest help that J.D. Vance brings to the table the helping him get elected in the Midwest, or do you think that he actually brings something to the table as the VP that maybe Mike Pence did not?
I think I think what he brings to the table is that Donald Trump feels he is going to be 100% loyal to do whatever. I don't think there's a geographic calculation. I don't think there's a political turnout calculation. I think it's Donald Trump concluded that Vance was going to be 100% loyal, and that, I think, was probably the chief reason he picked him.
And he said, like you said, I said earlier that what makes me comfortable with him is he's so smart, and what makes me uncomfortable is that he's so smart.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's not alone amongst Republican elected officials who have done a 180 on Donald Trump. And in fact, he's in the majority of that number, the vast majority of that number. So the fact that he has said unkind things in the past, I don't think that was a factor here. But you're right. He's extremely bright. And, you know, he's capable. I don't necessarily share a lot of his policy positions as a conservative, but he certainly shares a lot of Donald Trump's policy positions, which I think was very important to Donald Trump.
So, John, as a non-Donald Trump person that I am, as you know, I feel like this is a fait accompli at this point. It would take the October surprise of all October surprises to bring Biden back into efficacy. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Joe Biden was going to lose this race before Saturday. If he persisted in being the nominee, I mean, I had come to that conclusion. You don't have this kind of consternation within a party and you high level people saying, gosh, we ought to get another candidate. You don't go through that and recover easily. And you put this on top of that. And you know, I think you're looking at a 350, 370 electoral vote win. I really do. I think there's going to be a lot of states in play that nobody saw coming.
And Virginia, especially if Trump can really spike the landing on this, I've changed and we're going to be talking about unity, that would really be a game changer.
It would. Whether that's sustainable for Donald Trump remains to be seen. But certainly if he takes that kind of but, you know, I don't know that we can expect him to become Ronald Reagan overnight.
Good point.
And, you know, Donald Trump is who he is. And he feels as he feels, and he communicates as he communicates. You know, somebody asked me this morning about, well, it was Chris and Amy, about the tone, whether I think the tone long-term it will be affected by this. And I said, I think the tone will be affected for about the same amount of time we remember the name Thomas Matthew Crooks, which I think is about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I think after that, things will, unfortunately, devolve into the politics we've all come to know and loathe.
All right, buddy. Thank you, John Hancock. We appreciate it.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more rings, two more,
you deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You bet.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. So not only do you have the incredible happenings over the weekend, we just learned today that Donald Trump has picked Ohio Senator J.D. Vance to be his running mate. You also have things going on in the world of sports. We have the Olympics starting in just a few days. All-Star break. Tonight is the Home Run Derby, and then the game itself is tomorrow. We have our buddy Scott Warman from Valley Sports joining us. Scotty, remember when we were kids? Not that the All-Star game doesn't matter, it does, but when we were kids, you had Pete Rose running people's ass over and stuff. I mean, it was like full real.
Ray Fosse, I think, will always remember that hit from Pete Rose back in the day. But you know the other thing? We were actually talking about this at work the other day. The other thing that I enjoyed, I know, we're old timers, Dave, but I enjoyed the players wearing their own uniforms instead of these other uniforms.
Amen.
I don't like it, buddy.
It was magic. Dave Concepcion wearing the red uniform, it was magic.
I'll make sure I get off your guys' lawn. Honestly, look, I don't care.
It would come from Wheeler. I
don't mind being burned, but I mind being burned by Wheeler.
Right, exactly.
I am honestly Switzerland on the whole Jersey thing. I don't care. Like I don't hate it. So I don't love it. Yeah, no, I think there's something to that.
And what does it mean these days? Like, what does the winner get?
I don't know. They get money. They get.
But
you know,
there's no home field advantage.
No. And
oh, it doesn't count anymore.
No, thank God that doesn't matter. And I'll tell you what. Like I think what they're doing more now makes more sense in that they're just making it a show. Like make it fun. Mic up the players. Do those kinds of fun things, because you can't regenerate what existed in what you're talking about, Dave. Because the games were different in that time, in part because they were very different for players. A lot of that was pre-free agency, so you didn't like a lot of guys on other teams because you didn't know them. You weren't friends. You didn't come up playing travel ball together or whatever, and you never changed teams that often. So there was a genuine rivalry, and you cannot recreate that. But the other thing, and this is to me as a kid, was the magic part. I lived in an American League city. I never saw the National League teams except for maybe once a week on Monday Night Baseball when I was a little kid. Well, the All-Star Game was a chance to see players you didn't get to see very often. And obviously now that's changed with interleague play. And as a nerd, I would argue it's better now because I get to see them all the time as opposed to one day out of the year. And I get to see them in the games that really matter. But still, you have to create something. And I think it needs to be a show, which I think they're doing better at.
Yeah, I think there was a uniqueness, like you said, Kevin, growing up, we didn't get to see all 162 games of our team and everybody else's team, except if it was the Cubs or the Braves or the Mets. You know, that just wasn't the case. Now we get to see everybody, whether it's in our own ballpark or what have you. So that made the uniqueness. And I also thought about this as well, guys, is the fact that, you know, there were some plays that stick out in my mind. I don't, you know, from recent history, I'm not a big All-Star guy as much as I used to, but I can even think of, you know, you just pointed out there, Dave, that that play by Fossey and Pete Rose. But, Kev, I'm sure you remember this too. Dave Parker throwing somebody at home. I think they were in Seattle for the All-Star game.
From the wall.
Yes. And it goes to another part of this. I don't see anyone in Major League Baseball that plays the outfield that has an arm anywhere near like a Dave Parker or some of those old Andy Van Slyke, if we do it from a local standpoint. I mean, it's a totally different game from these outfielders. They just, I don't see those strong throws, Kevin, like we used to back in the day.
Oh, dude, I'm going to have to disagree with you there. I mean, I've seen guys uncork 108-mile-an-hour throw or 104-mile-an-hour throws from the outfield. Like, they're not like Mookie Betts used to do that before he moved to the infield. Ronald Acuna throws like that. Julio Rodriguez throws like that. It just doesn't stand out, I think. And I think there's a – I don't want to get too nerdy, but I think there's a big reason for it. With its scouting and advancement and analytics being as advanced as they are, I think positioning of players takes some of those opportunities away, and I think teams don't run on guys. They don't run on the big throwers. They just won't do it. So,
Wheels, let me ask you. So growing up here, like Scott and I did in a National League city, the American League to me as a kid, like you said, you didn't get to see them. They were aliens or at least French. Like there was something, weird about them. What in the hell is a Carlton Fisk? What was the National League to you?
Well, it to me, like again, as a kid, I was really nerdy about it, but it was – it was the, you know, the speed and pinch hitting and the strategy league at the time. As I got older, I kind of moved away from that thought process. It's just a different set of strategies as opposed to one league has strategy and one doesn't. But to me, that it was a lot about what the Cardinals represented, actually. If I'm telling you my age, like 1982, I was 11 years old. This was a World Series that was a really big part to me because it was the ultimate mismatch in terms of styles, right? Milwaukee, it was Harvey's Wallbangers. They're all big home run hitters. And to me at that time, that was the American League. And to me at that time, the National League was Whitey Ball. It was the Cardinals. And I don't know that it directly was that, but it sure felt like it to an 11-year-old baseball fan.
Well, Dave, that kind of turned out pretty good that year, didn't it?
That was a very good year.
So, Scotty, what a strange...
That was my first World Championship. I was actually at Game 7, and I got to tell you, that's a moment that with my parents that will forever be indebted into my brain. That was That was something when Bruce Sutter struck out Gorman Thomas. I'll never, ever, ever forget that.
Isn't it great to have those moments? Nick, my son Nick, who will be 30 in January, was 3, I think, when McGuire hit number 62. We were there at the ball game. My dear friend Courtney Landrum from Courtney and Company over across the street, she was holding Nick while Maureen and I fought. We were outside fighting about whether he was too young to be here with all the craziness, and we hear Mark McGuire, and I'm like, you friggin' know it. And then crack, and he hits it, and the place goes crazy, and satellite trucks, and as I'm walking Nick out, he says, Dad, is every game like this?
Oh, man, what a great question.
You spoiled him. Dave, so... If you remember that game, I was out, and actually everybody makes fun of me at work because we play that almost every anniversary. And if you see the shot, there's and in the corner, I'm actually sitting there. I stand up because I was at the edge, and you can actually see me raising my hands in excitement. But if you remember, Dave, the first time that McGuire came up to the plate, because remember, we didn't have our cell phones back then. Mm-hmm. But the bright lights from the bowls from everybody, flashlights, and everybody, the first swing of the bat, and everybody went, whoa, because it was so bright. The other thing that sticks out to my mind, obviously, besides the home run and everything that went with it, was remember, Dave, when the game was over with, the Post-Dispatch had already written, pre-printed all these papers, and they were just strewn all over the concourse and outside the stadium because McGuire had finally broken the record. Yeah. Those are a couple of things that were attached to that particular night that I'll never forget.
So, Scotty, bring us up to date halfway through the season. It's already lived and died with the Cardinals 100 times now.
You know, I think what a great turnaround after the first, you know, 6 weeks or so of the season where, you know, obviously things didn't look promising. And I think there were obviously everybody was a little bit worried, but I think this team is obviously heading in the right direction. Is it perfect? No. I think there's things that definitely need to be addressed. And I think, you know, time will tell with that. I think for me, and I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I think definitely the Cardinals have to go back and try to bolster the pitching. I'm a starting pitching type of guy. In fact, Mike Claiborne and I were just talking about this Saturday night at the ballpark, and I thought he brought up a great idea, is maybe the Cardinals, especially with some of these older guys, might consider bringing in a starter and go with a six-man rotation for a while, just to give them maybe an extra day. I think that's one thing that I would really like to see the Cardinals bolster. But if you can get the consistency in the lineup a little bit more from an offensive standpoint, especially I think we all repeat ourselves with Arenado and Goldie, I think this team is in a good spot where they can return to the playoffs.
Yeah, I'd love to see another right-handed bat somewhere. Doesn't even have to be an everyday guy, but somebody that they can move around. They're very left-handed, which leaves them susceptible to late-inning matchups and all of that. And, you know, it's part
especially
of the reason
in the outfield, Kev.
Yeah, yeah. And if they could swap, because the problem is Carlson would normally be that, but he hasn't been that. Right,
he's
historically been a good hitter against lefties, and this year he's not been. So I don't know. Maybe there's some kind of switcheroo you can make in that regard. But I'm with you guys on the pitching side, and I may be a little more extreme. I think it needs to be somebody that would be your number two starter in the postseason.
I don't disagree at all.
I think that's the play. Now, here's the real problem, though: there aren't enough sellers, and the prices are going to be really high. And do you have what it takes right now, given that some of your top prospects have struggled this year, given that you don't want to trade Jordan Walker? And I know there are a lot of there was buzz about it last week. They should trade him. No, they shouldn't. You do not trade a guy when he's at his lowest value, and you shouldn't trade this guy anyway. He's 22. Give him some time. Let him learn.
He could be the next Aaron Judge.
That's right. Let him learn what he needs to learn. He's 22. Matt Holliday didn't make his major league debut till he was 24. You know, let's not make the decision now on what Jordan Walker is. So I think it's a tough balance because there's only a few sellers right now. They don't have that many impact pieces, and the prices are going to be steep.
I agree wholeheartedly, and especially when you talk about the whole Jordan Walker situation. I go back to a conversation I had when I was working with Tom Pagnozzi last month when he said, look, these guys are coming up and playing after just 700-800 at-bats. It normally took us 1,500 at-bats before we get a sniff of Major League Baseball. So, you know, and you know this, especially Kev, it takes a little time for some guys more than others. I mean, you know, you can be frustrated that Jordan Walker isn't, you know, in the position that maybe we all thought he would be at this point. But you know what? nobody, I don't even think in the organization, thought that Mason Lynn, from an offensive standpoint, would be in the position that he's in. I between Wynn, Burleson, and Donovan, man, those three guys are just absolutely dynamic. I love to watch those guys play. They're really fun.
Scotty, enjoy your brief break here, and we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks. Have a good All-Star break. Enjoy the All-Star game. By the way, real quick, 5 o'clock tonight on MLB Network, both Pujols and Waino will be on set for the Home Run Derby.
Very cool, so yeah.
Might want to catch up to the former Cardinals there.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we have friend of the show, Gordon Hedl, who is a former director of the Secret Service. Going to be a perfect person to talk to about what happened over the weekend. Speaking of things that happened over the weekend that were troubling, you failed at ice cream?
What? Yeah, it went really badly. So last night, we've all been there, right? It's a Sunday night. You're thinking, I want my Sunday night treat. But, of course, because you know that you shouldn't have so many snacks and all that, you don't keep any in the house. So, of course, you have to pay
to Casey's.
$17 for a DoorDash of a single thing of ice cream, right? So I order from Dairy Queen, right? I get a non-dairy dilly bar for my bride because that way it gets high enough that, I get free shipping.
and I get in handy now and then.
Now and then. Yeah. That's what I keep her around for. And then I got a Blizzard for myself, but it sent this thing all the way at like 7:30 at night on a Sunday. It sends this order all the way to the Dairy Queen in Bethalto. Which, to those of you not familiar with the Metro Beast, that's like 20 minutes away from me. Yeah, and I'm like, no one is going to, especially for the amount I'm tipping, no one is going to go all the way to Bethalto to get this order and bring it back. So it just languishes there for like an hour. It won't let me cancel because it's like, well, Dairy Queen's already started making it, which is not true. They haven't started making it until the person picks it up and starts going towards them. Anyway, so then I'm like, well, I got to have something. So then I make while that one is still in limbo, I order Steak and Shake. I order a chocolate milkshake. And then no one's picking that one up. And I'm like, all right. So finally somebody picks up the milkshake order. They're coming all the way from St. Louis. So I made some poor person.
What?
Yeah, I don't know why when it dinged that it's like, hey, you got a delivery person for your Steak and Shake. And I looked at it. They were coming from like basically right here at this spot, basically like right in the heart of.
They're like, I'm at his work. Now I'll go to his house.
Yeah, like it was literally coming from like the corner of Tucker and Olive. They were heading to Alton to pick up my Steak and Shake and drive it 5 minutes across town to where I am.
Wow.
And then also eventually somebody ended up taking the Dairy Queen order, too. So I ended up.
So that sounds like a success.
I guess, but I ended up with like $40 worth of ice cream.
Ah, I see.
I got there at like 10 o'clock.
Wheels has questions.
I have so many questions.
Okay, wondering
how far away is the closest ice cream place to your house?
This is going to, see, he's just going to be a jerk.
He said that so mean.
I did. I'm being a jerk.
He's just going to be a jerk about this because you guys, you two get it because you order food sometimes. This man has never used.
How far away?
This man has never used an app. Shut up. It's 99 degrees outside.
On a Sunday night. I was outside in the daytime. I'm being an old man now. I was outside in the sun all day.
Nobody asked or cares.
He walked up.
Bro, I'm never paying $40 for shakes.
It wasn't $40. It was.
You said 40.
It was not that far away from that, but it was. Because I had to get. Because I got two of them.
You could have just driven.
I could have. The Dairy Queen that I thought it was going to is like, I don't know, 6-7 minutes away. And Steak and Shake's about as far.
Yeah. Bro.
You know who's not laughing? These two.
Yeah,
because
we
understand.
Get it. Like, Wheels has never been in the position where it's like, I will literally pay.
Yeah, because I'll just get in my car and go 6 miles
because
down the road.
I'm too lazy.
Yeah.
You have to accept.
I'm going to pay $22 for a Happy Meal.
Yeah.
But for ice cream, I get it for a burger. I get it for food. Ice cream is going to melt.
No, it didn't melt at all.
You're not going to get the real deal.
See,
that
would have been my fear.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been the money. It would have been, this is going to show
yes.
up and it's going to be milk.
Mm-hmm. So if a blizzard, okay, see, now I'm getting into the weeds here. If a blizzard is a little melted, though, that's okay. It's just.
It can reconstitute.
Yeah, and it it's good if there's a little liquid on top. It's hard to explain. But no, I wasn't worried about that. I was just worried that. I was terrified that some poor person literally drove all the way from downtown St. Louis.
I wonder if they lived in Alton and they were on their way home.
That's
or something.
That's what Megan said to try and make me feel better because I had done that.
That's the part you feel bad about, the person that chooses to bring you something.
I had done that in the past when I was driving. I would like, you know, it's like, all right, I spend all day in St. Louis, and then if there's one in Alton or there's one that I can pick up and take to Alton or whatever.
I have never been more my dad than on these conversations. We get Baskin Robbins. No, there's a half gallon from the grocery store in the freezer.
It's freezer burned. Like, you could just fix that.
I would have done that if I had, but I didn't have that.
Go to the store!
And I actually did, but I didn't realize until later.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.